Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, the 31st day of August, 2012, and I am going to attempt to focus like a laser beam and stay as calm as possible. It's just when I start covering a story, hundreds of other data points come in, and I want to try to break down why I know something, why I think something, why I believe something, why I predict something, and it's just impossible to do. But we try our best here, and I want to thank you all for joining us. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer will be joining us to talk about the Middle East, the word of an Iran attack as an October surprise, the end of Posse Comitatus, and so much more. He's one of the whistleblowers of the fact that they were able to kill bin Laden not once but twice with him in their sights in 2001 and were ordered not to pull the trigger with the drones. Why is that? Because Al-Qaeda, ladies and gentlemen, Al-Qaeda is a globalist creation. It is protected by the globalist on every front. So Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer will be joining us coming up in the second hour. And then Congressman Walter Jones, who has been valiantly trying to move forward with legislation that will commence impeachment of Obama or any other president if they try to put our military under foreign command. Duh, that's a no-brainer, but that's the point we've gotten to yesterday. And I want to get into an amazing report out of the Indianapolis newspaper, where they admit that the black helicopter drills with the police in the city, while the police are involved, are practicing going up against the American people. So more seditious, anti-constitutional treason, because the bankers are planning something big. They didn't get 100... my mind can't even wrap itself around the numbers. The 1.4 billion... rounds of ammo because they want to take us for long walks in the park and hold our hand. We have been captured by foreign banks. They have bragged about this fact all over the news. In fact, guys, will you reprint me the article, Banks Brag That They've Conquered the U.S. and Europe? Because I want to be able to actually list some of the news articles to people instead of just playing that same video clip over and over again where they say they've conquered us. And now they're getting ready for a further implosion to pose as the saviors and bring in more control. That's the name of the game with tyrants. And whatever they're planning is so horrible, they expect the state legislatures to rebel. And that's in the governor's council documents. That's in the John Warner Defense Authorization Act documents. That this battle plan is set up to go after the American people. So we're going to be breaking that down. Now, look, I don't know if guests like Steve Quayle, who I believe his heart is good, and he's covered some things that sounded wild in the past that came true, but he's also before said that the flu, this is it. The flu is going to absolutely spread and be a pandemic, and that didn't materialize by the grace of God. But the media was hyping it, too, as this big pandemic. And Governor Ridge can issue fake terror alerts. Bush could do it. Obama's been caught doing it. It's no big deal. But I really had an epiphany this morning, realizing that the gun is to our head, and so we should be upset about that. We can debate all day when the system will pull the trigger politically into a new hot war against liberty, but we're already in it. We're already being told we've been conquered by foreign banks. That's my point. They're not going to need to conquer us. They've already conquered us, and now they want to really clamp down. We'll be right back.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday, the 31st day of August, 2012 edition. We are going to be here, as we are every weekday, for the next 3 hours. We do have Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer on the huge geopolitical developments joining us. Does he think there'll be an October surprise war with Iran? What's his take on the West funding Al-Qaeda in Syria? We'll also, of course, get his take on the latest concerning the fact that he was not allowed to kill Osama bin Laden two separate times when he was running Stratus Ivy and Able Danger operations, and why he thinks that's the case. We're going to talk to Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer about all of those issues coming up in the second hour today. And then Congressman Walter Jones on his legislation to begin impeachment of any presidents, not just Obama, who try to put our military under UN or NATO command, saying that we get our orders, that our country is run by, that our military-industrial complex is run by the UN and NATO. So that is all coming up today. I am going to attempt here to calmly go over the most important news. And no, the most important news is not the bizarre speech that one of my favorite actors, Clint Eastwood, gave. And I could tell you why the speech came off a little strange, kind of being inside media and having a bird's eye view of it, but I would imagine a lot of you picked up on it. But I will not be delusional here just because I like Clint Eastwood and say that I think the speech went well. It did not go well. But see, that's a fun radio topic. That's the kind of thing that would get a bunch of ratings for the show. And I've got MSNBC saying it's racist to say that Obama plays enough golf to try to become a professional golfer. They claim that's racist. Just like they said, if you don't like government-run healthcare, you don't like black people. It's like, hey, I don't want a cup of tea. I want a cup of coffee. And they go, that's racist. You go, how? And they go, it just is. Hey, I don't want the TSA to stick their hands down my pants. Oh, that's racist. Hey, I don't like traffic. Well, that's racist. I mean, political correctness has now reached a new level. So we're going to get into that. Article is up at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Limbaugh, it's now racist, according to MSNBC, to say that Obama plays so much golf and takes so many vacations that he ought to try out for professional golf. I mean, that's been said about basketball. And then professional players said, look, he's not that good. And then they got criticized, of course. Fellow was black that criticized Obama in the first case, so they had trouble saying he was racist. But this new system of just no criticism of government, or you're an extremist, you're a racist, it's amazing. We're going to get into that. Out in California, multiple cases of cops beating women in front of everyone for no reason to death, stomping out their throats, stomping out their heads, just like that poor homeless guy begging for daddy as they kill him over 20 minutes. And again, the police need to get in trouble for this. If you want to go be a tough guy, go join a jiu-jitsu club or a boxing club and go get in the ring with guys that want to pound people's brains out as well. Of course, they want to fight men, not women or homeless people that weigh 120 pounds that aren't resisting you. And again, I'm not saying all police are bad, but you've got to criticize this type of garbage when it's going on. It's something that absolutely has to be done. Chris, I know you gave me that Eisenhower quote I sent you, but I lost it here in my stacks. Will you just reprint me that off the email or IM I sent you? Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll never find it in the 100-plus articles that are here in front of me. I put it somewhere because I want to read that. The reason I bring up police before I get into the really big stories here today, and that is the military and another article training to take on the American people, and this buildup of weapons and checkpoints and a billion, 400 million rounds of ammo. Before I get into that and talk about what is the big event that's clearly being prepared, I want to talk about the police first. We talk about the police a lot here because if tyranny comes to our door, it will come in a uniform. And if a tyranny manifests itself, a hot, aggressive tyranny, we're already in a soft tyranny, it will be the police that will face the brunt of the societal hate and the physical danger. You see, every time I listen to radio or watch TV or at a family's house or something and see a sporting event, all they do is say, let's take time out with this Labor Day coming up or this Memorial Day or 4th of July, whatever the holiday is, and thank our troops because we wouldn't be free if it wasn't for them. And by extension, they say, let's thank our police. We wouldn't be free if it wasn't for them. And to analyze it, number one, it's a propaganda empty thing. If I heard the radio host, like I heard on XM this morning, on two different channels, I was listening to rock and roll, and then I was listening to heavy metal driving in, and on two different channels, they had people reading talking points thanking the military. And it's just meant to make you, when you hear the military thank, just fall down and start groveling. Thank the military. They want to launch wars. Thank the military. They want to run checkpoints on your highway. Thank the military. There's no discussion of how they're taking their death benefits for 13 years now. When you put money out of your check to get life insurance, they sign deals in 99 to take your death benefits. Almost all veterans, when the man or woman dies, the widow or widower gets no money. See, if you really cared about the troops, you'd say, we need to indict these big insurance company heads that met with the Pentagon and got them to give them a letter letting them steal it. Like that makes it okay. Can I have a letter to rob banks? Oh, sure. Here you go. Since you're the big mega banks that own the insurance companies, we'll let you take over $1 trillion of people's money. Or, you know, if I heard talk show hosts say, hey, they shouldn't be using DU, remember the troops, it's going to kill them 20 years down the road. No, it is a centralized propaganda arm. When you turn on television and you're in a hotel room, and this has happened to me, and because I only pretty much watch television when I'm in a hotel room for 5 hours waiting for some TV shoot. You know, I'm waiting on call to go down and do some interview in the field or something with Ventura or whatever. I'll be sitting there for 5-6 hours watching television, and it's just every channel, propaganda, different anti-family messages, anti-liberty messages. That's not a good society. That's not a good sign. Every cartoon I watch that's got military in it, the UN runs America. The UN fights the aliens that invade. I mean, you see it. We're all being bathed in propaganda. So that's a sign we're not in a society going in the right direction. So when I hear all this pro-cop propaganda, it means pro-police state, pro-federalized, pro-cop at school talking to your 9-year-old about what's in your medicine cabinet. Not local controlled police helping people and really going after bad guys aggressively. That's not what happens. Crime is managed into crack districts and prostitution districts. Okay, the system launders the money. It runs it. That's the way the world works. So I refuse to live in the naive system. Now, why am I talking about the police here? I was in a huge, and I'm not even going to say the name of the place, huge gun shop, probably the biggest in Austin, Texas, where I live, bigger than McBride's. But it's mainly a place that sells to the police, state police, you name it. About 80% of their business is police. So I'm in there yesterday, and I'm buying a bunch of ammo. I'm buying a Russian-made semi-auto AK, because it's such a great gun. And I was buying a 50 caliber rifle. So I'm in there buying a 50 caliber rifle, semi-auto Barrett, tactical, short barrel, because it's something I just need to have. It's important to have that. And I'm in there. And even before I started buying guns, there were police in there. And everybody that worked there was shaking my hand and were listeners. And then there was a chef in there from one of the local restaurants. And I mean, everyone was a listener. And the cops were looking at me, and it really freaked me out. The police were acting like they were scared of me. And I don't like that. I'm not some weird, insecure person that wants people look at me like they're scared. I found it very disconcerting that the police were looking at me wide-eyed. And there were Austin SWAT team guys in there. They were the only ones when we were leaving with this huge shopping cart of ammo. And I was busy opening the doors for the guy. They were looking at us and I guess halfway in awe, but also trying to stare us down or whatever. And it really, and these were obviously desk jockeys. They weren't the regular SWAT team guys. I'm not knocking them, but, you know, I mean, one of these guys looked like he had two spare tires around him. But they had the red SWAT patches and all that. And they were obviously the bureaucrats because they're there buying ammo and guns. And I walked out, and Matt Williams was there. Shane Steiner was there with me. And we're getting some stuff for the, you know, a new episode of The Gun Show, Brothers in Arms. And I'm sitting there. And Matt's like, yeah, you saw right. They were trying to stare us down. And it was so bizarre. It was like a gang or something. But the police, it was like an old Western, you know, where the gang's taking over the town and Clint Eastwood walks in and High Plains Drifter or something and goes over to the bar. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm going to talk about the psychology when we get back. Look, it's very simple. In every culture, when corrupt interests take over, they turn the police and military against the people. You know that about North Korea, about Mexico, about, well, almost every country in the world that run from free to totally enslaved. The more military, the more police on the streets, the more bowing down to military and police, the more of a fascist or communist or authoritarian country you're in. And I was just talking to, because I was busy looking at guns, I was just talking to Matt Williams. He said, no, most of the cops in there were, you know, coming over and talking to him and saying they liked the show. And I know all the people, you know, selling us guns in there were listeners. They were telling me about the show and what they heard and what they liked and things like that. But I was in this place, you know, getting a 50 caliber rifle and some ammo and stuff. There's one of the armor-piercing incendiaries. You can't get these anymore. They don't manufacture these anymore, but I thought I'd get them because they were cheaper than regular ball ammo. It's going to be great on the show when we shoot these through metal plates. These came from a B-52. It says only using B-52s on the casing of it. Back when B-52s had four of those in the back. This is from the early 60s. That's when they phased out 450 cals and went to, what, 20-millimeter cannons in the tail gun of a B-52 anti-aircraft. But, I mean, you got to love America. That's what the Second Amendment is all about, is the government doesn't have the monopoly of force. We the people do. And it's a beautiful thing. But Matt was correcting me. It looked like an Austin uniform, and it said SWAT in red. But what county was it? What county was it? You weren't sure, but it wasn't Austin. It's like Burlock or something. The point is, we're walking out, and I guess they'd been talking about the guns we were getting, and they were just staring at us with this shopping cart and looking at us, you know, staring us down. And even if you are the toughest guy in the room, even if you've got, you know, everything behind you, you know, you're the toughest MMA fighter in the world, you're Chuck Norris, whatever the case is, staring at people, bugging your eyes out at them, trying to intimidate them, is the essence of tyranny. And my only point is, I am not the enemy of the police. I never have been. I never will be. And I've got to tell you, on average, the problems I have with police are young ones. And that's what I've been told by police. The problem is young ones. They're new to it. They're on a power trip. They haven't experienced things yet. And these guys look real young. And they're enjoying the fact that they can throw their weight around. Well, it's that type of mindset that can be used by social engineers and tyrants to bring in corruption. And there's nothing cool about corruption. Bondage and slavery is a very, very sad thing. And we do have a tyranny in this country. And I'm going to cover it when we come back from break, the latest developments. But I want to challenge everyone to go read the cover issue article that was in our free newspaper, Free on the Streets of Austin, for sale at cost in bulk until we sold out in 36 hours at Infowars.com. But it was the cover story, but it's also online, so all of you can read it. Bankers declare U.S. and Europe conquered. And it has news clips, Financial Times of London, Newsweek, Time Magazine, Economist Magazine, Council on Foreign Relations, video clips of world leaders like Herman Van Rompuy, head of the EU, CFR documents, Al Gore speeches, UN blueprints on their own website. It's got 16 links in the bibliography. Mainstream news does not have articles, folks, with bibliographies. We do. Bragging that they've conquered us and that they're going to shut off our power incrementally and shut off our jobs to make us dependent on them. So I want to be friends with the police and military. You're Americans, too. It's the same thing for people in other countries. I want you to be free. I want you to live well and prosper. I want you to have great children. I want you to have great marriages. I want you to have great bass boats. I want you to live to be 110. I want you to protect and serve. I want you to find car thieves and muggers. And, you know, if you catch some guy raping a woman behind the bushes, if they accidentally fall down and break their neck, you know, justice is served. But I do not want to sit here and watch you beat homeless people and women to death because you think that's tough. And I don't want to watch police departments protect those type of people. And I don't want to watch police going around bugging their eyes out at people. Because as a man, I find that type of North Korean police activity threatening. And it gets my hackles up. I'm just like a dog. Somebody's aggressive towards me, I get aggressive right back. And the globalists want to play us off against each other. We need to decide which side we're on. When we come back, I'm going to give you chilling information. Call everybody you know. Tell them tune in right now.
A frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Get into Clint Eastwood and the Republican National Convention, Lou Rockwell and others' breakdown of Mitt Romney's speech. Man, you got Obama over here, absolutely horrible and disgusting puppet. And then over here you got Mitt Romney. It's just, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. I mean, I thought no one could be bad enough to make you want to vote for Mitt Romney. And Obama has achieved that. But I still can't support Mitt Romney because I know it's all a big sucker punch. We're going to be talking about that. It's pretty much rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. But there's a big crisis coming up, and we're going to break that down here in just a moment. Speaking of the new magazine, we're already working on the October issue. Anyone who wants to read the September issue that gets into engineered financial collapse and all the evidence of that, and Homeland Security listing liberty lovers and returning veterans as the number one terror threat and training the police and military accordingly. That's just public treason right there. You can go to Infowars.com/newsletter. Infowars.com/newsletter. And when we pound out every morning and every afternoon an email, the latest news, latest video clips in there, because there's so many requests, we're continuing to add the link to where you can see it in issue and one other system where you can flip the pages, click on the links, and see all the amazing illustrations. Now, that said, we put the, I've got all the technicals now, we put the magazine out at almost 1,100 locations in Austin as a beta test. We plan to have it be a system where people become franchisees in the next 6 months or so. We're setting all that up. Got a lot of requests, incredible feedback, people calling us, emailing us, established publishers, you name it. So it's definitely a big success by the grace of God and your support out there. To have a print version that's internet kill switch proof or resistant. It's not like, you know, watches aren't really waterproof. They're water resistant, because if they go down too deep, past 3,000 feet, most of them will break. It's like submarines aren't waterproof. They're water resistant. It's internet kill switch resistant is why we're going to this as a backup system. But the point is, we printed 50,000 for the streets of Austin. I got a copy over here. Then we printed another 20,000 to mail out to listeners that we would sell in bulk at cost. Well, it turns out that we sold out in just, I don't know, 10 or 15 hours or so of the first 20,000. So we printed another 20,000, that's 90,000, and those sold out in less than a day as well. So 36 hours, 36,000 got sold, because we held back roughly 4,000. So that we could, you know, when we come out with subscriptions next month, you could get the first issue for free and the next 12. And we're going to launch that next month. The next few weeks, you'll be able to sign up for a subscription, not just buy them in bulk, so you don't have to keep reordering each time. But we're always going to offer them in bulk at cost. Well, we then, and I learned that folks were told this on Monday. I was never told till last night that. About 66 locations in Austin refused them because it's politically incorrect. I mean, it's evil to want liberty, which is fine. I expected more. 66 locations. So it comes out to about 3,500 magazines that we have. So those are up for sale right now in groups of 10, so everybody can get a chance to get them. And I did lose money also, and then I'm done talking about this. I just guesstimated how much it would cost to ship these and then up the price a little because I was still losing money. I thought, well, we thought we could ship these out media mail. It doesn't let you ship out magazines with advertisements, post office rules, at media mail cost. So every magazine cost me $3 to ship out. We lost about $20,000, but I honored it, of course, doing that. And of course, so maybe up in the price of these 3,500 will come some way towards recouping that, but it's not that big a deal. Our goal is to get the word out, period. So InfoWarsShop.com, InfoWarsShop.com, if you want to get 3,500 or so that I just learned of, got delivered this morning from the local newspaper distributorship warehouse that they've been waiting all week for us to come get. We have the 3,500 or so ready. And we're holding back another close to 4,000, again, that'll be available when we have subscriptions. So we got 7,500 or so now here in the warehouse, but we're going to sell half of those. So InfoWarsShop.com. And don't forget your purchase of the books, videos, T-shirts, high-quality water filters, live straw, all of it supports our broadcast. We also have everything at the lowest prices. We find the lowest prices, and then we add free citizen rule books, bumper stickers on top of it. You can get the best gravity-fed stainless steel filters that I personally use. ProPure blows the competition away in side-by-side comparisons. You can get a whole bunch of those travel ones, you name it, at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsShop.com, and get 10% off the already lowest prices out there with the promo code WATER at checkout, or you can call. We also honor that special when you call 888-253-3139. Or you can drink the tap water and trust the loving government who cares about you because they're nice. Okay, that's enough. Let me now get into the big issue here. I was exercising this morning before I got to work, and I'm driving in the car earlier this morning, and I hear a Genesis talk show host, Joyce Riley, you know, talking about, oh my gosh, my listeners are so scared. You know, Steve Quayle on the Alex Jones Show, you know, he was talking about in the next 3 months, martial law is coming, it's going to happen, and people are so scared. And she was like, you know, there are the preparations of the 1.4 million bullets and the checkpoints and the urban warfare drills. But she said that's been going on a long time. It is building up to a head. But, you know, she's called Steve. I didn't know this. I heard her saying this and once him on. So I forgot to tell you guys. I just thought of this just now in relation to this bigger story I'm going to cover. Will you call Steve, try to get him back on sometime next week, but also ask him if he's gotten messages from Joyce to go on her morning show here on Genesis. I'm going to do that before I forget. I do so much planning just right here on the air. It's total transparency, but by necessities, we just don't have enough time in the day. There's so much to do, so many little details. And I, too, have seen the comments pouring in. The guys have given me the emails. I mean, that interview really freaked people out. And that's why I said yesterday, I think Steve believes what he's saying, but you know, I don't think that they're going to go to full martial law or use foreign troops in the next 3 months. And that's not criticizing him. You know, I'm allowed to say, I mean, when he was on air a couple days ago, I was like, are you sure, Steve? Now, I know, you know, he talked about drones 2 years ago, getting GPS coordinates of your front door. People didn't even believe at first that they were getting GPS coordinates of front doors. Turned out they were. Then they're admitted now they fed that into drones. That's been in the news. And they're using even Reapers and Predators against rural communities. So reality's gotten so crazy, you can't criticize Steve Quayle for believing they're going to pull the trigger in the next 3 months because, and here's the epiphany I had, the gun is at our head. We already have TSA checkpoints in every state. Told you that was coming years ago because I saw them say it on C-SPAN. They're already in thousands of different job types demanding TSA approval before you can have a job. In loading docks at shopping malls now. I mean, this is, you know, you buy nor sell or work. They're coming out with face scanning cameras to buy and sell everywhere. They've got face scanning cameras everywhere. Austin has them. License plate readers. They are. Homeland Security, 2 years ago, approached my dad, a patient he'd had for a decade. Got treated to him and his mother and said, we'd like to recruit you. You'll get paid for Homeland Security. Well, what do I do? Well, you spy on your patients. Well, I mean, that's totally illegal, folks. A patient, doctor, privilege, all that. My dad thought it was a setup, and I said, don't go to the meetings, just find out more. And then he talked to the other doctors that worked for him, the other dentists. They got visits at home. They talked to dentists. Almost every dentist got a Homeland Security visit in the town where I live. Folks, this is a giant infrastructure takeover, finding out who'll be spies, who'll be collaborators, just because Americans want to be friendly and want to work with the system. And, oh, Homeland Security must be good. No, it isn't good. It's been taken over. It ships guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment. It allows the megabanks to steal trillions of dollars and the veterans' death benefits. I mean, you know, this is a lawless group. I don't like risking my life to fight them, but it's got to be done. So I was thinking about all that and all the different angles of it and just had the realization that we are already so deep into this and that the system doesn't want to have big giant jumps and big giant events and big giant, you know, foreign troops, nukes going off, things like that, unless they have to. And yes, if we were ever marching on Washington and a bunch of states woke up and the counties and cities woke up to the criminality and there was a mass awakening like against Ceausescu in Romania, the globalists would set off nukes. That's in their battle plan from our research and blame it on patriot groups and try to organize the military against the states. And their entire battle plan is organized in the John Warner Defense Authorization Act and everywhere else. It is all set up and established, pointed at the states, pointed at the people, pointed at the legislatures. And that's why they threatened when the state of Texas said, we're going to enforce the law and not let TSA grab people's genitals. They said, we're going to have an F-16 blockade. I mean, you know, don't forget, they said an air embargo enforced by the U.S. Air Force. When Rick Perry said, we might secede as a joke, The surrounding states all went on alert. That was not in the news, but I confirmed that from five different sources. I mean, ask people in the military that are in the National Guard in Oklahoma, in Louisiana, in Arkansas, in New Mexico. They even had Colorado ready to come in, even though they don't really border us. I mean, that happened. So the entire architecture of NORTHCOM, you name it, is set up and is rigged and is pointed at the legitimate nullification, states' rights, 10th Amendment, that the states come in as a check on the federal government if it gets out of control or gets infiltrated or gets taken over by foreign powers. And the founders all talked about this. This was the big threat. You don't have foreign-born as president. You don't have foreign-born back at that time, in higher positions because governments were infiltrating back then. That happened a lot in Europe. And so all of this is going on. I mean, the preparations, the military drills. I've got new articles here today. The admissions that Homeland Security is now not for Al-Qaeda, who they say the Pentagon now runs with NATO, and they're saying Al-Qaeda's good in the Council on Foreign Relations last month. Or earlier this month, actually. It was their new issue, the first of August. It's August 31st, so it's still August. Kind of thinking of as if we're in September. Well, I'm already thinking out into October, November. But the point is that all of this is going on. I mean, I had Larry Grathwald, you know, the psychologist, Army Ranger veteran, FBI infiltrator of the Weatherman. And he hasn't heard all that stuff. I talked to him off air. He didn't hear what we were saying. And he's saying, I think they may stage something and try to take over. They've got it all lined up. I don't see them turning loose of power. Everyone who's got their ear to the ground or their finger to the wind, who has the pulse of things, knows that there's problems. And I want to quote what Eisenhower said shortly before he left office, and he said similar things in his farewell address. If an American wants to preserve his dignity and his equality as a human being, he must not bow his neck to any dictatorial government. Dwight D. Eisenhower. I mean, that's what America is. So when bureaucrats get mad at me or cops feel threatened by me, listen, you don't like America because this is what it looks like. And I'm not trying to brag about my lineage, but Mayflower both sides, Texas independence, I won't even get into it all. It's illustrious. Don't shake your finger at me and tell me I'm anti-American and I need to get out of the country when I talk like George Washington. I talk like Thomas Jefferson. That's who I want to be like. That's who I admire. That's what I'm for. That's what the flag symbolizes. Not all this torture and tyranny and lies. And I want you to join the Republic. I want your ancestors to be proud of you. I want you to maintain your family name. This is a big deal. This is real. This is happening. The globalists brag they've conquered us. And they're planning something big. Is it financial collapse? Is it war? Probably both. Will it be in 3 months like everybody's saying? I'm not saying that. The police you hear calling and crying, the government documents, the admissions, the Fox News talking about financial collapse. This is what Larry Summers in the Washington Post is talking about. There's another great Eisenhower quote. Let me read that. If all that Americans want is security, they can go to prison. They'll have enough to eat, a bed, and a roof over their heads. But if an American wants to preserve his dignity and equality as a human being, he must not bow his neck to any dictatorial government. Yeah, there's the full quote. President of Columbia University speech to Luncheon Club, Galveston, Texas, 1949. Amazing. Very, 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 very interesting. There you have page 23, subject security. Yeah, that's America. It's not just Benjamin Franklin that said, you give up your liberty, you're going to get slavery. I know tyranny when I see it. TSA checkpoints. And the border's wide open, basically. I know what's going on. And now there's articles in the Minneapolis Star Tribune and others admitting that the Special Operations Group, Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and also out of Florida, and Fort Bragg, are doing urban warfare, confrontation scenarios, close quarters battle with the police in simulations against people resisting. And that's what's going to happen if the state houses try to resist this takeover. They're going to send in the big red one. And you've already got judges and people in Texas, you know, the heads of different organizations, like in Lubbock, saying we're going to resist this. I mean, this is horrible, ladies and gentlemen. And you've got city people in city government speaking out saying we're being conditioned. I'm going to read this when we come back. For martial law. Yeah, that's what this is. And guess who they're practicing guarding in Minneapolis? The Federal Reserve Building. That's in the news. And it, remember 2009? Army dispatched in response to end the Fed protest. This was leaked to the media that Ron Paul and myself, I was in Dallas, he was in Houston, and in the Fed protest, they had plainclothes army there watching us. We'll be right back. We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just recap this as cogently as I can, because again, I got thousands of data points coming in. I'm trying to paint the image I'm seeing here crystal clear. It's called history. It's repeating itself. From Caesar bringing in the troops, crossing the Rubicon, taking over, to third world dictators. I mean, this is what's happening. But this time, there's not one dictator. There's puppets. So puppets come and go, and every new puppet, the agenda gets worse. But something's happening. People are waking up to puppets like Obama quicker and quicker. They're going to wake up to Romney, who it looks like they're going to put in there. Everything's shifting towards him right now. And the system knows it's not working anymore, and they know things are going to get really bad because of the derivatives that they created and signed us onto. And so they're committed. They believe they're going to get away with this. They believe they're going to get away with this collapse. And the question is, when does the deepening collapse get here? Well, it's getting here every day. Hyperinflation, QE3, they've been holding off on that. We are in trouble if they do that. We're in trouble if they don't do that. There's no way out of this except back to the Constitution and Bill of Rights. But things aren't going to get better because the people that stand to gain from the crisis and who want to convert us from a free society and a wealthy society to a beggar society under a tiny elite, they're in control. And they are now shifting from the training toy that they trained the police to be authoritarian to fight Al-Qaeda to the real enemy, us, the American people. And my point is, if they can take over with incremental slide into oppression, that's what they want to do. They're putting fluoride in our water. They're giving us GMO. They've got kids wearing RFID bracelets and face scanning to buy and sell in the schools. They've got face scanning going in. They've got TSA on the streets. They've got their gun registration rollouts. All of it's happening. And resistance is forming, and now they're saying, let's restrict their speech on the internet. Let's pass cybersecurity that even CNET News says mirrors Putin's censorship. Yeah, the NSA is spying on you. Yeah, we are torturing people. Yeah, we will secretly arrest you. Yeah, we are weaponizing drones. They'd rather just come in, take over, and war game a slow collapse dealing with us. But if they see signs that there's a total mass accelerated viral awakening happening, which we're on the verge of, they will set off a nuke in a city in a New York minute and blame it on domestic groups and try to bring in martial law. And the mainstream media will go along with them because they want to maintain control. They want to make you watch them. They want to shut down free speech, so they're the monopoly that everybody's forced to watch. There's a perfect storm, a confluence of things, and everyone's got to ask themselves, do you really want to let this happen? Because once liberty's gone, once freedom and prosperity's gone, it's very hard to get back. I mean, do we really want to deliver our children into this? And, you know, you can't criticize somebody who thinks that they're going to have a foreign troop take over in 3 months because foreign troops are here, because we are being prepared for that. I don't think that's going to happen. But you can't criticize people that think it is because the gun's to our head. Somebody with a gun to their head, they think the trigger could be pulled any minute. And we've all got a gun to our heads. But instead of getting upset about that future event coming, we should be upset right now about how far we've gone. Because it will go to that point someday if we don't turn it around now. And the system is running around wild, digging in against us right now. Here's the article. Minneapolis military drills based around confrontation scenarios. We'll talk about this some with Colonel Schaefer after we get to geopolitical issues. And here's the article from 09, Kurt Nemo. Army dispatched in response to end the Fed protest. And they watched us in Dallas. I led those demonstrations. It's in the Obama deception. And they watched Ron Paul. And it said, this is out of Camp Mabry, Austin, Texas, and other bases. We have copies of the documents sent to us by patriots. And the Army responded and said, yeah, these are our documents. You shouldn't have them. That they said, don't let them know you're military. They may kill you. That's what they tell the military about us.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, 31st day of August, 2012. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Hard to believe we're going to be in the ninth month of 2012. It will not be the end of the world December 21st, unless they start a nuclear war with Russia. Maybe that is their plan. I've always said it wouldn't be the end of the world, but government's digging in like it's going to be the end of the world. Who knows? The Fruit Loops running the New World Order might think little green men are going to land December 31st. I don't know anymore. I just don't like the fact it's on, I mean, it's in the culture so much that my eight-year-old daughter, she's not eight yet, but going to be eight soon, is like, so is it the end of the world on December 31st? No, I don't believe it is. Maybe the end of the world as we know it, as the song goes, it's the end of the world as we know it. And I don't feel fine. I started getting into this. We're going to get to Colonel Schaefer coming up in the next segment on a host of issues. But Minneapolis military drills based around confrontation scenarios. Minneapolis records clerk, she's the clerk of records, Melissa Hill tells the Star Tribune she fears people are being conditioned to accept a police state. That's a quote, as military exercises in the city involve Black Hawk helicopters based around confrontation scenarios continue to stir intrigue and concern. Yeah, you got to train the special forces to go up against the American people. I mean, they're already helping guard the opium they ship in. Why not? Asked about the exercises, which have been ongoing all week in downtown Minneapolis, Hill responded, to me, it's really frightening. Military copters flying around in our airspace in an urban setting. It's kind of conditions people to accept the police state. Yeah, before they invaded Panama, for a year they did drills. So the military stood down when they attacked. As we reported on Tuesday, footage of the drill showed Black Hawk choppers hovering between skyscrapers and circling over the Avenue Bridge. The exercises are being run by an elite military unit based in Florida called the U.S. Special Operations Command in coordination with Minneapolis police. Yeah, train the police to work with the military. And if I see one more police chief, every time you see your police chief or cops on the news going, civilians have been helping us deal with this, you know, that voice, you need to call the talk station, call the mayor. I hear our mayor here in Austin all the time going, civilians have been helping. You're a civilian, punk. You're not a four-star general. You want to be a general? Move to Latin America where every mayor wears little, you know, general outfits. Okay? I mean, I'm tired of it. You're not a general. You're not a colonel. You're not any of those things. And the police, we're a paramilitary organization to enforce federal edicts. And you are a slime bag civilian. Do you understand me, boy? I mean, that is the attitude. That is not freedom. That is not liberty. That is not America. Okay? End of story. And they just henpeck us with civilian, civilian, civilian. And now they've got the military merging with the police. You got the police dressing like the military. I mean, it is a joke. It is a joke. And the big question is, what is the giant gear up for? The civil unrest, all of it. I didn't even get into earlier when I was talking about all the signs of the police state. Army FM 3-39.40 internment resettlement operations. And the media is like, well, that's for overseas. Yeah, it's a manual for overseas. In fact, guys, we pulled the whole stack yesterday. It's got the manual, everything in there. Well, you bring that into me. It's a whole stack of FEMA camp stuff. Because, you know, right there, it says, oh, you will process Americans in the 10 FEMA regions, you know, with their Social Security numbers. You got to single out the political troublemakers and put them in other areas of the camp. I mean, it's all there. The military is training to put us in camps. Now, we're going to get into geopolitical issues with Colonel Schaefer, Iran, Syria, what the big gear-ups, the 1.4 billion bullets. Is the October surprise that, or what is government running around like they're preparing for World War III or something with the American people? What is his take on that, if he'll talk about it? On the other side, I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
All right, welcome back to another hour of InfoWars. I'm Alex Jones. We've got Congressman Walter Jones joining us in the second half of the next hour to get into legislation to begin impeachment against any president that openly announces that the military chain of command is NATO, UN, president under that, and then Congress doesn't even exist. He's been officially saying that now for 2 years in letters, statements, and actions. In fact, we'll get Colonel Schaefer's take on that as well. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is joining us here in just a moment. In fact, he's online right now. I want to get into Iran. I mean, is the attack, because he's got all the sources inside, all the different CENTCOMs, you name it. I mean, I know he probably knows the latest, but is unable to tell us, but he can hint at that. I don't think they're fully decided yet if there'll be a strike on Iran or it'll be covert operations. You've got Al-Qaeda and other groups openly being funded in Syria. The carnage of Libya that Colonel Schaefer predicted the way it would go, it certainly went that way, handing it over to a bunch of jihadis. Thousands of missiles missing. We're going to get into that. What does he make of this Navy SEAL book that I think the White House probably wrote and claims that it's some, you know, gnome de plume so they can put out their election propaganda? What does Colonel Schaefer think about that? What is his take on just all the different things that are happening? Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is a highly experienced intelligence officer. Well, yeah, he could have killed bin Laden repeatedly, but was ordered to stand down. Ran Stratus Ivy, Able Danger, whistleblew to Congress, successfully defeated their demonization campaign. He's a recipient of the Bronze Star with 25 years of field experience. Tony has commanded and directed several key operational intelligence organizations. In the 80s, he was a counterintelligence officer and worked to monitor Soviet military forces visiting the United States during the INF Treaty. Well, now they're just letting him into NORAD and trained to fight American terrorists with them. Who needs to monitor them now when we become the Soviet Union? Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer transitioned to foreign intelligence. I'm not even going to go over all this HUMET stuff. Probably more HUMET experience than most people in special operations, period. OperationDarkHeart.com was his book they tried to censor and did excise parts out of, and that's still a bestseller out there, Operation Darkheart, bookstores everywhere. But I got to ask you this first, okay, and I want you to really, because we're getting down to the line, things are getting so crazy, who knows, it's a possibility we won't be on the radio in 3 months with the bunkers, all my military and police sources that I've talked to personally, not just calling in. They're being told huge life-changing events in late October, early November. They're being told financial collapse, Iran war. We all know that doesn't mean that's going to happen, but that's what they're being told. The system likes to tell people, hey, we're going to war, or this is happening, to get everybody in gear. But all these preparations going on, you know, city clerks in Minneapolis saying it's a police state takeover. They admit special operations group out of Florida is training for confrontation scenarios. I've got Army manual FM3-3940 that we got. The Army responded 3 months ago and said, yeah, it's real. You shouldn't have it. It's for foreign resettlement and camps, but it's also for domestic, the 10 regions, how to process this with our Social Security numbers, how to take the political people and put them in a camp within a camp, just like X-ray, the 1.4 billion bullets bought in the last year, the armored giant wheeled tanks being delivered, just government is digging in against the people. They've announced Al-Qaeda is no longer the threat. Officially, we've been told it's white, conservative, libertarian, gun owners, returning veterans. We first got those documents 4 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, from Homeland, from a federal marshal and from a state police officer. People didn't believe it at the time. They later admitted it was accurate. I mean, I'm seeing a buildup I've never seen. This is probably, let's be conservative, 20 times any buildup I've ever seen in the past. And so, Colonel Schaefer, I'm asking you, we have you for the next hour or the next 50 minutes. Be honest with us. Sure. What is going on? What is the military telling you? I mean, you know, I understand you can't talk about classified stuff, but I mean, just be honest as a citizen, what is going on and what should we do as citizens?
Well, one of the first things, Alex, I'd like to point out that this trend of essentially using the military or planning to use the military is not new. And I know this may shock your audience, but I had friends coming to me as early as the 90s when the Clinton White House still existed, complaining about the fact that they had to do operational plans, which were not against foreign adversaries, which they were actually for contingencies within the United States. Now, you and I both know, and I worked to testify on this, was prohibited, by the way, back in 2005, regarding the issues regarding Posse Comitatus. I was actually prohibited by DOD from testifying in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on this issue in September of 2005. And one of the aspects of this, obviously, and I think you and your audience clearly understand this, there needs to be a separation between police actions and military actions. The United States military was designed to be essentially an expeditionary unit, a capability, which would fight our foreign wars. And I think what we've seen is this internal look, which is, again, not new. I think what you're seeing now is a more visible,
rollout.
Rollout, if you will. But again, this has been going on since the 90s. And I think one of the things that every president, Democrat, Republican, has not recognized this trend for what it is, which essentially is the potential for the U.S. government to abuse the power. And this is one of the things I will always say. And for your audience to know, look, Walter Jones is a dear friend of mine. So I want everybody, you know, truth in advertising here. He's been one of the voices looking at this. I mean, he's a conservative, and yet at the same time, he's very concerned about the fact that anytime you have power, you have the potential to abuse that power. And I think that's what a lot of us are saying. We all understand we need to have a strong military. We need to have a strong ability to use that military to defend the United States. However, one of the things that I've noticed, and I actually was on Fox News in July, talking about the fact that DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is now incorporated in its training. Now, this is what the DHS does to train local law enforcement. They've incorporated in their training the concept that, quote-unquote, freedom lovers should be looked at as potential terrorist organizations.
That's a quote.
That's a quote. And so I actually said on national TV, this is insane. You cannot try to disabuse yourself of the clear and factual evidence that the majority, the vast majority of real terrorism attacks over the past 12 years have been perpetrated, planned and perpetrated by radical Islamists. I'm sorry, that's the fact. And look, I have very dear Muslim friends who I'm still friends with on Facebook. I'm involved with a lot of things to try to look at how we can better understand each other and mitigate.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this. Why are they trying? Because this is not denied. They say the number one threat is domestic veterans, conservatives, libertarians, who statistically have the lowest crime rate of anybody. That's just the department's own numbers. It is a lie. Why are they rebranding off of Muslim extremists onto Americans?
I don't know. I think the only reason I can see is that this gives them a boogeyman to go after within the United States. And let me be very clear on this. And I said this in another radio interview. Sharia law cannot coexist within the context of our Constitution. My good friend Bruce Fine will tell you the same thing. He has studied the Constitution. There is no room for an alternate law system to sustain itself within our Bill of Rights. It just can't exist. With that said, the Bill of Rights is heavily defended by, as you and others take up arms and take up a very vocal perspective on this. And obviously, the First through Tenth Amendment are our ability to
no, but you just had a good Freudian slip from your subconscious. Words are the more powerful weapon that you want to resort to first before you ever talk about physical. And you're right. I do assault tyrants with my words. It is a weapon.
And that's the point here. I think the Department of Homeland Security and their current training system is set up to actually go after anyone who exercises their rights within the Constitution, which to me is insane. Recently, and right here in Virginia, down in Richmond, there was a former U.S. Marine individual picked up because he had posted on his Facebook very definite. I think he used the word of wanting to cut people's heads off because of what he perceived as their violation of the Constitution. Well, you and I both know that he's not going to take a freaking axe and go cut off somebody's head. It was a figure of speech. Yet that got him incarcerated for about 5 days.
Well, he quoted a song saying, "I'm sharpening the axe."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how many rappers do you know who have actually said they're going to go out and kill cops, and in many cases have actually done so? So there's a clear assault on the First Amendment at this point in time. And this is one of those things which only those on the inside would really know their motivations. But when you combine that, when you combine this training trend by DHS to instruct local law enforcement to look at freedom lovers as a potential terrorist threat, you take time and resources away from real threats. That's my concern. That's what I've said several times.
Let me ask you this question then. I mean, because I looked at the numbers. This is 10 times the ammo DHS has bought in the previous 9 years. No one has ever bought 1.4 billion rounds of different handgun and rifle ammo for domestic operations. They're buying mobile armored pillboxes for the highways. They're rolling everything out. What is the word? What's coming?
Well, let me tell you something else is coming, and I think you guys have talked about this before, the drones. We're talking about 30,000 drones being up and running by 2020, or before that, really. You're talking about the FAA now writing rules, and I think it's something maybe you want to talk to Walter about when you have him on a little bit later. You know, no one has looked at the constitutional issues of the use of drones. You have FAA, which is a large bureaucracy, writing rules for use without even any regard of why and how they're going to be used regarding the First and Fourth Amendment. So you've got to consider that. In addition to that, when you look at the layering of capability, like you point out, this huge buy of bullets, this basic militarization of the police forces, one has to wonder, and this is where your audience and everybody should be asking a question, why? What threat has presented itself that requires this level of purchase? Have we had race riots or other riots in any major city of the United States? We haven't. We just went through the RNC convention. One of the things that DHS said they justified the purchase of all these weapons is because, well, we think that there may be riots at the conventions. Well, one convention's down, the next one's coming up next week, and nobody I've talked to indicates to me that they see any level of 1960s radical riots as we saw in the Democratic.
Yeah, but you couldn't use 1.4 billion rounds of ammo domestically. I mean, that would take years to use in a full-on war.
Literally. So I don't believe any answer given by the government so far is sufficient to explain what they're doing. And I think everybody should be demanding through their congresspeople, through their state and Senate representatives, what the heck's going on? Because I can't answer that question.
Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is our guest. Be sure and visit his website. We'll give you that address here in just a moment. Let me ask you this. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's FM3-39.40, Internment Resettlement Operations PDF. We've got all these others here in front of me. We've got a public document they put out on the National Guard website in multiple states saying that they are training for cordoning of cities, gun confiscations. So all this is now admitted. And this is newer training. I know this has gone on before at a smaller, you know, cadre level. Now it's going on across the board. Everybody I know that's in the Army, family I have that's in the Army, they tell me that in the last 3 years that even mechanics have been trained in riot control, that they're training everybody in riot control. Again, I know you don't like to speculate, but what are they gearing up for? I mean, it'd be one thing if they were getting ready for an Iran attack and they thought Iran might have some sleeper cells. That's special tactical units. You know more about that than I do. But, I mean, I'm correct. You don't fight a few terrorist groups with 1.4 billion bullets. You don't fight them with internment camps. You don't fight them with, I mean, the architecture of this military buildup is for mass takeover, targeting of states. I've talked to Army officers off record who've said, no, whenever Rick Perry joked and said, we'll will secede, that they got the National Guard in five surrounding states on alert. We know when they said we're not going to, the Texas legislature unanimously in the House said no more groping, we're going to kick the TSA out. Obama said we're going to have an air embargo, and if you try to run it, F-16s will go after you. I mean, this is the stuff that started the Civil War. And I mean, I know I'm ranting, throwing these data points out at you, but this architecture, from my layman research, is it not built to suppress the states, as we saw the county judge say out in Lubbock?
Well, I put your very point on my Facebook a while back. The 10th Amendment requires that the states have a certain amount of responsibility. And frankly, everything you just talked about regarding riot control, regarding riot training, is all a National Guard function. I went through in 1981 basic training as a Guard soldier. My basic training differentiated from those at the federal level, because I had to actually go through riot gear training, because part of the state's duty, Alex, is to actually do things which are necessary to protect the civil population. So, Alex, I do believe that they have to have a better understanding. We all have to have a better understanding that you've got to allow the states to have that function. Every state has that responsibility. It is not a federal function. And so anytime I see these articles about the feds getting into riot control, buying gear, buying capability, to me, it's unconstitutional. That is clearly a state-level responsibility. The state guard units are trying to do that. And every governor, God bless them, has that responsibility. It's a Title 32 issue regarding our laws. The guard is funded through Title 32. I came up through the guard. The guard has a very distinctly different mission than the federal government. And so when you look at this, it has to be the states and the governors who actually call out this capability, not the feds, because the moment the feds do it, they're trampling on states' rights, which, as you point out, resulted in the Civil War. And in this case, to me, it's a clear differentiation which always falls to the state. So, again, I have not seen anybody make an argument to me why the federal government should have this authority to come in and do, quote-unquote, riot control or coordinating cities, when really already the capability exists with the state level, and frankly, it is the state's responsibility.
Colonel Schaefer, I want to shift gears to international events and all the perspectives that you can give us from the inside on this new Navy SEAL book, Obama and this new movie, the story changed 100 times. You know, when you're the real guy that could have, with your men, killed bin Laden repeatedly, it's been admitted and we're ordered to stand down. So you're perfect to be able to comment on this, probably the best person out there. So I want to get into those areas and the Iran situation. But what are your colleagues saying? Because, I do have federal sources. Some of them have dried up because people are so scared the whistleblower persecution that's going on. They are using NSA, as you know, to surveil the police, the military, the FBI, all of them. They've been threatening ATF people if they expose Fast and Furious. I mean, we're seeing authoritarianism, its strongest in the federal government, trying to not have good people follow their oath. But what are your colleagues that are currently in the military? I know you still teach in the military and have those contacts. Are they concerned? Because from my sources, they've never been more concerned. And they say that elements of the federal government are looking at trying to take over the state, start a civil war, try to script, saying domestic groups are the enemy, really trying to bring in an authoritarian takeover openly. Are you hearing any scuttlebutt in that area?
What I'm hearing is this something I think I encourage your audience to Google or check for themselves. Senator Ron Wyden has said some very provocative things about the classified implementation of the Patriot Act. And so what I can tell you from what I'm hearing, I can't tell you why I know, but yeah, everything that's communicated, anything that's a 01, it travels through the internet or on the phone system, is being recorded by NSA. And I don't care what General Keith Alexander says. I know that he's been confronted on this by several reporters, and he always tries to change the subject. Everything that's being communicated is being recorded in some form. That's why they opened this big Utah facility. With that said, there needs to be a clearer understanding of oversight of that system, which brings me to my next point, which is what you want me to talk about here, is what's actually going on. Look, I do believe that power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. So you've got to have someone watching the watchers. This is where Congress comes in and has to take a much stronger role in exercising its oversight responsibilities. We have elected officials by the people of the United States who do not have access to the very things they're funding. That is say, and I think Walter will be willing to tell you this, he pays for things, he votes on things and yet cannot oversee the very things he approves.
That's Congressman Walter Smith coming on later.
Walter Jones coming on in a few minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the insanities of the current system. We have a lot of things going on in the federal government which people don't have clear understanding of. This goes back to what I blew the whistle on, where I believe certain things happened and were suppressed that could have resulted in other things. And regarding that, a lot of folks are working very hard. Judicial Watch is an organization that's constantly trying to get behind the scenes. And this goes to the issue of the Bigelow movie, Zero Dark Thirty. Judicial Watch just recently uncovered 4 linear inches of documents which were, quote unquote, overlooked during the initial review, which indicates not only was the White House behind opening doors, they were trying to shape the story to show that the current president was very much involved in the, quote unquote, assassination of bin Laden. Whether you believe that to be true or not, I'm not going to go into that debate at this point. But what is not within debate, what has been proven by these documents, is that the White House opened the doors to both CIA and DOD and gave Ms. Bigelow and her Hollywood types full access, which includes classified information, to help them film this movie. So
totally illegal. The president isn't even allowed to do that.
And this, and on top of the other leaks, which have been clearly demonstrated, the Pakistani doctor Al-Fraidi being outed, the thing with the Yemen net being outed. There's a whole series of things, these things, which have been very clearly detrimental to our defense and our national security, and yet they've happened to continue to happen. And so we come to the book. No easy day. I'm going to tell you, as best as I know, this kid, for better or for worse, is very naive to what's going on around him. I don't know him. I know people who do know him. And frankly, this seems to be all about the money. Apparently, Alex, this kid was offered $1.something million in advance. That's a lot of money. And I don't mean to sound demeaning to him, but everything I'm hearing is that the kid walked into essentially a trap, if you will. My lawyer, Mark Zaid, has commented on this both publicly a number of times and within the context of what's going on. He thinks this kid is probably going to get in a lot of trouble. Is the content real? Could be. I don't know about the content. I haven't seen the content of the book.
Tell you what, stay there. Let's break down the national security rules and what this book, No Easy Day, means. And again, they wouldn't let you publish your book for a long time. They grabbed it. They destroyed a bunch, if memory serves. And then they let it come out later. So how did this even get published through a major publisher? We'll be right back. Folks, Alex Jones here. We are back. Don't forget the online video bookstore. We've also got Infowars.com camo and Hunter Orange caps that are quite handsome. All of your purchases make this syndicated radio show, my growing news organization, possible. We don't get $500 million of banker bailout money like MSNBC. Or another $500 million in job stimulus to give Rachel Maddow a raise while cutting employees. We are 100% funded by you buying books, videos, T-shirts, materials, and our sponsors that you see at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And, of course, also your subscriptions at PrisonPlanet.tv to see the video, the 3-hour radio show, and the nightly news, 7 o'clock Central every night. So please don't forget this growing platform, by the grace of God, despite all my faults, we've been able to reach 3 million people conservatively on the radio a day, over 1 million now with Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com combined. If you add in Twitter and Facebook and all their other systems, it is over 4 million people a day, if you count YouTube and all the rest of it, that we're reaching outside of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So you add it all together, we're approaching 8-9 million people a day, one way or the other. The system, well, FOIA requests have been done by Bob Barr's group and others, And it's come out. We are being spied on by Homeland Security. We are being watched. They see us as a terrorist threat. We're listed as extremists. And it's who knows what they'll do to us. This is a lawless foreign banking cartel that has declared they've captured our country. And they've declared those of us that are true Americans and know the Bill of Rights and Constitution and don't want to be slaves, that we're the enemy. It's kind of like we're in France and the Vichy French have taken over and collaborated. And they're saying if we don't like Hitler, we're bad. I have to use that analogy because if it gets much worse with this military occupation and the rest of it and this slow implementation of tyranny, we're going to be in that position. And they will start grabbing people. You know, they're openly trying to start censor the web. CNET News has admitted, we're going back to our guests, that that the cybersecurity type legislation isn't pointed at protecting the internet or commerce. I mean, the IRS gives out fake tax ID numbers to whoever wants them, for heaven's sakes. That's one of the biggest problems. It's pointed at shutting down free speech, and we're seeing more and more of that. So please stand up for the First Amendment and support our guest, who've had a lot of courage. You know, they tried to, he doesn't talk about it, but they tried to persecute him and go after him when he spoke out to Congress about them not letting him kill bin Laden, his unit, his group, his operation. OperationDarkHeart.com is a real book that had real events that were proven by other separate books and insiders, not a work of fiction, that they censored. In fact, why don't you recap the censorship of that and then comparing that Colonel Anthony Schaefer to this new book. I mean, I'm no expert, but I've never heard of a major publisher publishing something like this without authorization. I mean, they could be arrested for this. I mean, I get sent secret stuff and it goes in a shredder if it's marked secret. I mean, I won't even investigate it because I know they could arrest me. So anybody in media knows this. Anybody in media understands this. And I don't believe it could have gotten to bookstores if somebody didn't want this out. And I agree with what you said. The White House, or you were implying, may have wanted this out and kind of set up this guy through the publisher, and then he ends up getting burned.
I think it's very possible. I think that's one of the scenarios we've talked about actually happening because, you know, between you and me, I don't think anybody would want to do something like this without some level of top cover. And just so your audience knows, I mean, there's been a real battle inside of DOD over my book. Some people support it because they know it's the truth. Others have tried to make it go away. And on that point, just to recap very quickly, Darkheart tells a story of one of our first shots going and getting Dr. Alman Zawahiri, who was hanging out at a place called Wana, Pakistan in 2003. And for any number of bizarre reasons, I won't give away the entire content of the book, things went against us and they decided not to do it. Which obviously allowed Zawahiri and bin Laden and everybody else to hang out in Pakistan for a long time. Zawahiri is still hanging out over there. We did disclose within that book elements of Operation Able Danger, which was our pre-9/11 operation looking at going after al-Qaeda offensively that was shut down right before 9/11 as well. So all those things are in the book, and frankly, I think there's more issues still in that book that people don't want to be talked about who are still in DOD. And I think that's one of the reasons that...
Well, go over the history. They blocked its publishing for a while, right? Then grabbed it and a bunch of stuff.
We went through two separate reviews, had to have it cleared twice. And so unlike this Navy SEAL, we actually tried to cooperate from day one, went through the process they gave us. And then right at the 11th hour, when certain folks figured out, oh, my goodness, this book says things we don't like, they did it. They pulled it back. They destroyed 10,000 copies, as you pointed out. And it was all done under the quote-unquote issue of security. Let me be clear with your audience. We have a First Amendment lawsuit against DOD for the abuse of the First Amendment because we believe we can prove in court that everything in my book in the unredacted copy is unclassified. We believe we can prove that. And yet over a year now, we have been fighting DOD for our day in court. That's how much they're fighting.
Because it's an embarrassing story. It's not one they want told. No. But this propping up the fairy tale with how Obama told it of the burial at sea, and they're watching it live on feeds, which they admitted wasn't true, on and on and on. They want this published backing up their story. They don't want your book out.
Exactly. So it's one of those things. It's been a clear pattern by this White House that if they want something out, they'll be the first to leak it. It's almost as if the New York Times is their outlet for classified information. At the same time, if you have people trying to come forward and tell the truth, they're immediately pounced upon. As you pointed out, there's been a war against whistleblowers that has been unlike any other in any other administration. So I think what we're seeing here is this, as long as that narrative that they like supports what they want to have people think, they'll let it be leaked. If there's any criticism or contrary information which tells the truth, they don't care. They will pounce on people. So I think that's the one issue that I think everybody needs to be concerned about. The truth is the truth is the truth. And I think that should be what everybody seeks in this case. And frankly, this book, I don't know how much of it. I have not seen it yet. I've only seen some reviews of it. And I think this narrative is going to be something I think sets the record straight. But again, it could be the record that the White House wants set straight, not one which may reflect the total truth of the situation. Let me say one other thing real quick. A reporter named Kim Dvorak from the she writes for the for one of the online report. I'm sorry, newspapers for I think it's the Examiner did a story back when Bin Laden was killed, talking about the quote unquote eerie parallels between Operation Darkheart and Operation Geronimo, because according to her, and I can't confirm this, what we came up with for Operation Darkheart was actually the format used for the raid on Bin Laden. So I can't confirm or deny that, but I'm just saying, go check out her article and read for yourself.
Interesting. Now, shifting gears into the larger geopolitical situation, recap, because I remember you being on the show with your predictions and others' predictions of what would happen in Libya, what the geopolitical strategy is of wrecking that country with somebody working with the West, putting in the jihadis, Al-Qaeda flags over major cities, lining up black Africans, shooting them. And then now what's happening in Syria, where the CFR 3 weeks ago came out and said, quote, we need Al-Qaeda. And news is like, wow, Al-Qaeda's getting the job done. I mean, this is just amazing. They're saying the TSA needs to, you know, take my four-year-old in the back room and abuse him, or needs to grab my wife's breast, or needs to grab my genitals or Ron Paul's, as they tried to do in Florida a few days ago on a private jet. They wanted to search him and his wife and check for bombs that he, you know, because he might be a threat to Mitt Romney. Ron Paul's public video was shot of this. So Ron Paul can't be trusted. But Al-Qaeda can be given 10,000 missiles, 2,000 of them, heat-seeking or radar-guided out of Libya. That's not an issue. NATO can fly Al-Qaeda in to Turkey and other areas to insert them, to infiltrate Assad's regime. I mean, this is so they can kill the Christians. I mean, how have we gotten to this point? And is the military concerned about putting Al-Qaeda into Syria? And what do you think the grand plan is of this?
I don't think there is a grand plan. It's part of our problem as a DOD. We don't have a global strategy. One of the things that was notable, at least during the Cold War, is we had kind of an enemy we all looked at and we understood. We don't have that now. And I think what you're seeing is chaos. Our military today is reticent. And I've talked to a lot of folks, as you have. A lot of folks don't believe that we need to be looking at going to war. We need to be looking at only using military force when necessary. I think we have an overabundance of evidence that we need to be more step out of getting involved in local conflicts. The conflict in Libya resulted in, as you pointed out, I predicted that we would see the chaos we now see, that tribalism would be the real result, which is what we have. We still have literally thousands of surface-to-air missiles missing. I don't know how that's in our best interest, and I don't think we've seen the end of bad consequences coming out of Libya. We go to Syria. Syria is one of those situations where I think people like John McCain are insane, and let me be very clear, are insane to be calling for military intervention by us, as if we didn't learn our lesson from Lebanon and the Marine Corps barracks bombing and the embassy bombing back in the 80s. We've got to be much more careful about how we involve ourselves. And frankly, allowing for Al-Qaeda or the Muslim Brotherhood to take a stronger role against Assad is not in our best interest. I think we should be looking at how we can get Assad to move along. But I think the social construct, the whole country of Syria is, for better or for worse, a modern republic of some form. It should be a transition into a republic. Right now you have a dictator in the form of Assad. I believe if you replace Assad with a group that can transition that country, you're much better off than allowing total chaos to come in. The moment that government falls, you will see another Libya. And I think the consequences of this would be far worse, because this government has weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons. And frankly, you could see an entire expansion of conflict throughout the region. So I'm not for the blind use of force of us coming in and taking sides. We all, I think, would agree something needs to be done to stop the killing. But dismantling of the central government and seeing that military devolve into what we saw the Iraqis devolve into after we got rid of the Iraq government and the military is not in our best interest. So I don't think we have a clear course we're going forward on.
Sure. Colonel Schaefer, you're a smart guy. I mean, there's no doubting that. And you're a gentleman and you like to just stick to the facts. But when you say it's chaos, that's from perspective of someone like you that really wants to spread 1776 worldwide. You want freedom. You want a fair shake for everybody. You support the Bill of Rights Constitution. And so you look through that lens. But I know you're not naive. I mean, the globalists have bragged, the foreign corporate interests that manipulate our government, that they want chaos. They want a Shiite-Sunni civil war. They want tribalism. They don't want to build up Syria. They don't want to make that place a nice place, just like they threw out Mossadegh in 53 in Iran and replaced him with, tyrants. They want the strategy of divide and conquer, destabilization, deindustrialization. Our country did have the policy in the 40s and 50s and 60s to build up the world, and then it started shifting by the 70s, 80s, 90s, and now it's wreck everything, which is really kind of a British model. I'm not saying the British run it, but it's that British model of divide and conquer. And I find it an extremely immoral and evil system. And I see them using the Al-Qaeda threat to take my liberties. And that makes me very mad. That makes me really take it personal that I can't take my children on trips because, these scum want to put their hands all over them. And I want it to stop. And only this Al-Qaeda myth is holding it up. And I just don't see how we can logically say Al-Qaeda are good guys. I know you're not saying that. And are helping bring down Assad. And they got missiles. That's okay. But I've got to have my rights taken away. And they got to have TSA at the shopping malls. I mean, I'm ranting here. But, I mean, come on. I think there is a method to this madness. It's destabilization.
Well, the whole TSA thing is out of control. Let me be very clear. I go to New York very often. One of my favorite ways to travel is Amtrak, Excella. And let me tell you, the Amtrak security folks have done a credible job for years. And they do random searches, they profile, oh my God, what a word to say, and they look for people to be, some anomaly to actually pull someone aside and talk to them. Imagine that. And they have dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs, they run them around, I have no problem with that. And yet, for some bizarre reason, TSA wants a piece of that action. They want to get involved. Why? There's no reason. It's a secure prospect. Amtrak knows what it's doing. You travel without having to go through onerous searches, and yet somehow TSA wants to get in. This is the problem with what we're faced with right now. We have an out-of-control bureaucracy, and frankly, again, Congress is not doing its job. The way Congress should deal with this is cutting back the freaking TSA budget and, frankly, asking them to account for everything they're doing. They are truly, not profiling people. I don't believe TSA is making anybody safer by doing this charade of looking at the diapers of four-year-olds. And I think this is one of the things we as Americans have to take a very hard look at. And, yeah, the whole idea of Al-Qaeda being good one day and bad the other is insane. If you have radicals who are out to destabilize or see a Muslim caliphate come to fruition, they're not our friends. So you have to understand the larger picture here. I think everybody does. And we cannot accept onerous security in our own borders for an enemy who, frankly, is there, but not as monolithic as we might make him out to be.
Well, Eisenhower said, if you want security, go live in a prison.
Right. And that's the thing. Let's look at the threat. How many attacks have come over the past 10 years? Where have they come from? And look at how those were perpetrated. We had the underwear bomber part two almost perpetrated. And of course, the administration leaked that to the detriment of and now the Al-Qaeda guys know how we figured it out. So that came from an external source. There's been other radicals like Major Hassan, Nidal Hassan, who have been radicalized. That is an active threat that we need to look at.
And it turns out, though, they knew that he was talking to these people and let him continue for 2 years.
Right, exactly. So that's my point. We need to look at where we know the threats to be, not to look at four-month-old, four-year-old's diapers. It's insane. We've got to get past this perception. Again, I think the government does a lot of things to create the perception of security. But in effect, obviously, they have not protected us against the real threat.
Sure, but it's more than security theater. It's a power grab.
I think in many ways, especially with TSA, it is. And again, this goes back to Congress reeling them in. I'd like to believe that people are waking up to the fact that certain airports have already said, we want to get rid of TSA. We should make it easier for them to get rid of TSA, because TSA is another government bureaucracy, which now, because of its size, is more focused on its own self-continuation than actually protecting the American people.
Final segment with Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, who has written the best-selling book, Operation Darkheart. You can go to the website and find it, operationdarkheart.com. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. I want to ask him about the Iran attack, the big news. And we've got the chairman of the Joint Chiefs in the Jerusalem Post, Dempsey, saying, I don't want to be complicit in Iran's strike. We'll talk about that straight ahead. Declaring their independence. They laid their bodies down in a bloody war.
Laid their bodies down on a bloody war.
For liberty for their descendants.
Liberty for their descendants.
And now they're called the number one domestic terror threat. If you say, hey, I want the Bill of Rights, I want the Constitution, I want the Second Amendment, I want states' rights. Oh, you're the number one terror threat. You're who we're watching. Well, that means then that you hate the spirit of this country. You hate George Washington. It really comes down to that. We've got about 5 minutes left with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, best-selling author, researcher, amazing story. You got to check out his site and his book. You can't put it down. It's so informative, and he obviously knows a lot more. He can't tell us. Someday he'll be able to, though. In closing, the Iran situation, I'm sure you've seen Dempsey, who's usually been pretty hawkish. That's why they kept getting rid of the different chairmen. He's in the Jerusalem Post and everywhere else saying that Israel's moving towards a strike and he's now distancing himself. That's kind of creepy. Does that lean towards an attack or against it? What intel are you getting?
Well, there's two things to remember. The whole regimen of sanctions, day late, dollar short, not going to work. Irrelevant. Hard currency still going into the Iranians, so I think we might as well give that up. If they really wanted to do something like that, they should have done that back during the Bush years, but they didn't. With that said, now we are looking at the almost certainty that the Iranians will develop a nuclear weapon. My sources tell me they've already got two. They do. Question becomes, what do they do with them? I don't think they know what to do with them. It's something that they understand at this point, and we understand that if they ever use a nuclear weapon, they would suffer huge consequences. I don't think there's any question of that. The problem is this: to actually do an attack, a conventional attack using aircraft, they're talking right now, there's over 300 known sites. That's known sites that are involved in the Iranian nuclear program. Keep in mind, there's sites we don't know about. Obviously, that's just the known ones. And to actually attack those using aircraft would be hugely difficult. So this is where I think the general's coming from. It's like, you know, the idea of using an attack may not actually net us what we want, which is to shut down the Iranian nuclear program. I think that cow is long out the barn door. So what we, I think, need to focus on is the fact the Iranian people are Persians, and they have their own green movement, which is a democracy movement. And I think we need to encourage their own people to think about, do you really want a government which is actually out to poke other people in the eye to create the conditions for war? Because, frankly, the Iranian government, the mullahs and the guy in charge, is all about making some pretty big rhetoric talking about trying to use their weapons to kill others. With that said, there needs to be a distinction made between the Iranian government and the Iranian people. We don't want to do anything to make the Iranian people our enemies. So this is where I think we have to have a deeper strategy in understanding the situation, and to understand who the good guys are and who the bad guys are.
Well, let me ask you this, because you've got to go soon, or maybe you can stay 5 more minutes. We're going to break here in just 1 minute. Look, I don't want a war, and I want to see Iran, you know, become a freer country. But why are there mullahs and people saying we're going to blow Israel up? And they really are saying that now. It's like they want this war to happen. That's crazy.
That is crazy. And that's one of the things I've said before. We need to look at the Reagan approach to things, where if I were President Obama, I would have three U.S. carrier groups there all the time, one in the Mediterranean, one in the Red Sea, one in the Persian Gulf, ready to go and say, while we don't want war, the moment we think you're going to do anything aggressive, we will kick your ass. And I think that's the approach we need to look at taking, because obviously I don't think we're going to, what we're doing right now is not going to stop.
All right, I know you got to go, but we got a 60-second break. Just give me five more ahead of Congressman Walter Jones joining us, because he's joining us after that, just to break down a little more on Iran. Can you do that?
Sure.
Okay, great. Back in 60 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got globalists that have hijacked our country, and then you've got all these other countries run by their lunatic leaders. We're in a lot of trouble.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we got a short segment left here with Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, author of Operation Dark Art. Then I got a couple segments to cover news. And then Congressman Walter Jones, on a host of issues, is going to be joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Colonel, for folks that just joined us, recapping, we're talking about Iran, which has got really, you know, good, smart people that want freedom. And I know that the West has done a lot of bad things to Iran, so it's not just a one-way street. But Iran is doing a lot of provocative stuff. I mean, you know, some of these statements are almost asking for it. And isn't that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to hear it if you think I'm wrong. Isn't it that their government, I've seen some of the statistics, thinks they'll be more popular because they're pretty unpopular if Iran is struck? That will unify that government for another 20, 30 years. I mean, they kind of want that chaos so they can look like, and you know, that they're the victims and stay in power.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look what did happen with the Falkland Islands in Argentina. That was exactly what the Argentines thought they could do, is actually prompt their population to be more supportive. And two points very quickly. I know we're short on time, but the Iranians watched how the North Koreans played brinksmanship masterfully. I worked operations back in the 90s, and I watched in slow motion how the North Koreans were masters at pushing us right up to that line and backing us off. And they're before our eyes, the nuclear program within Korea produced nuclear weapons. Imagine that. So they've watched that. They understand this game of brinksmanship, and I think they're trying to walk a very fine line. Let me be very clear here. The moment that and they would lose, the Iranians would lose as much as anybody else in a war. They sustain themselves off of oil sales. They cannot even refine their own oil. So I think this is one of those things that you continue to see this brinksmanship. But with that said, there are crazies within their own government who would sooner see the return of the 12th Imam, which is their religious belief that somehow if they create enough chaos, that their religion would see the return of one of their religious leaders. And so there is that element of crazy. To produce nuclear weapons, you have to have rational people who understand science. Break. You've got equally committed crazies who are putting out this propaganda and who may well cross that line. Our interest, I think, as most Western interests are, is to maintain basically the status quo at least as long as we can. And then if there is any that hint of use of force, that the Iranian government understands that we will be forced to take military action against them. But the moment we are seen as the aggressors, that the Iranian government can paint us as the aggressors, surely they will use that with their own people to say, see, they really do hate us. This is why you have to support us. That's one of the reasons we have to walk this very fine line between focusing on the Iranian crazies and the Iranian people who really do, as much as other people, again, they're Persians, not Arabs, want to be free.
Well, expanding on that, just in the minute we have left, the downfall of the West is the fact that we don't have the moral high ground anymore with all the corruption, and there are interests that want to destabilize these countries. They don't want those countries to be free. They don't want them to have freedom. They're trying to put Al-Qaeda in that's going to kill the Muslim and Christian and Jewish minorities or drive them out. I mean, they're blowing up churches, for heaven's sakes, and the so-called liberal media isn't covering it. It's a war crime what's happening in Syria. It's shameful.
Right, I agree. And that's where I think that there needs to be reckoning of the American press, the world press. I think there's a lot of things going on people don't really understand. And I'd like to believe somehow, some way, we'll continue to have voices in the wilderness trying to call out the wrongdoing and trying to do the right thing.
Well, I mean, I don't know how they're going to spin this in history when Al-Qaeda ends up taking over Syria if it goes that direction. Now you got the Russians lining up. We ran out of time. I hope you'll come back in the next month or so as things heat up to talk about Russia, which you dealt a lot with, and where you see that going. The website, folks, if you want to check it out and get the book, it's excellent. I have the sheet here in front of me. It's OperationDarkHeart.com. Correct, Colonel?
Right, thanks.
All right, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There he goes. Again, I'm Alex Jones. If you just joined us, Infowars.com. We're streaming video at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're fighting with the Infowar against the construction of the prison planet. Stay with us. A ton of news. And then Congressman Jones, straight ahead.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
When the bell begins to chime, reflecting on my past life, and it doesn't have much time. 'Cause at 5 o'clock, they take me to the gallows pole.
Running low. We are all appointed once to live, to be born, and to die. And never forget that. This world, this life is a test, my friends. The magic of consciousness, the gift given to us by our Creator, to be able to stare out into the universe and experience life is an unspeakably amazing event. I just can't believe that people don't feel more fulfilled in ecstasy or agony or all the points in between. Life is an incredible adventure. And the globalists seek to attack our genetics, our family lines. Our DNA is being destroyed. Our species is under unmitigated assault, because when you give in to evil, it sinks to its absolute zero. The very worst are empowered. And I seek to set brush fires in the minds of men and women of humankind to reach for the stars. There are so many mindless, and I'll get into the news here, so many ahead of Congressman Walter Jones joining us with big breaking news on a host of issues. I see the ongoing idiotic debates based on ignorance that go on so many thousands of subjects, and it just frustrates me. Because I know my intellect is finite, my intellect is limited, but in the true research of knowledge, you don't plug into disinformation. If you plug into real information, it just exponentially connects itself. And Matt Williams was likening it the other day here in the office to that scene in V for Vendetta where the detectives are sitting there with all the evidence, and it all starts to come together right there. And that's what it's like on every issue. As I get a deeper and deeper understanding, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing to stare into the fulcrum, the flow, the blast of reality, and to gain exponentially more and more understanding. And then you realize that people running the planet, they gained a lot of this knowledge, but decided to take another road and use it against people. And just the idea, the thought of using knowledge to pull people down, the thought of using knowledge to shatter minds, the thought of using deep knowledge to hurt people who don't deserve it. My very spirit recoils. And now, only now, in the last few years, I always felt it, but now I really understand what God-fearing means. It isn't like God even wants us to be afraid. It's that when you see things that are wrong and you even behold them, even beholding the sin makes you recoil and feel fear for those that are doing it. And it's not like fear of being hurt or fear of being humiliated or fear of being destroyed. Fear at being cut off from the life force of the universe. It gives me just chills of just, oh, man, you people that are into evil, just stay away from me. Just get back, get back, get back. You don't know, you don't know. You've got something wrong with you. If you knew the roads you were going down, I'm getting chills right now, bad ones. Just imagine what you've become, what you've been part of. It's so horrible. I can see what you think. I can see who you are. I see into your mind. I see what you like. It stinks. It stinks. It smells really bad. It's like walking into a room with a dead animal that's been there for a month, and it's just you want out of that room. I'm just like, ooh, I recoil from you. I like life. I like creativity. I like everything that flows from God. The living waters just flows out in the space-time continuum, blasting us all as our souls just travel in it in a stream of eternity. And to imagine people, because again, really evil, the top globalists who are very evil are very intelligent. They are aware of all this, but have a dark twist. And I understand the dark majesty of evil, but it's only at a certain level. It's a reflection of good in the face of the evil. Because only by looking at the evil do you recognize just how good the goodness is. And that's why God allows evil to operate. Well, so that you have free will and can see it. I'm not trying to preach. I have all this news to cover. You know, let me talk about this. Even though it's kind of a petty story, it has a gateway into deeper understandings. And it's this. Clint Eastwood, I didn't watch the RNC last night. I went and visited my grandmother for her birthday. My uncle was over there visiting her. She didn't want a party, but my uncle came in from East Texas and I went up to, here to Austin. I went over and saw her and had dinner with her. And so I didn't watch it, but I watched it this morning. And I mean, Clint Eastwood is really a great actor. But more than that, he is an amazing, amazing director. And I've talked to people that have worked with him. He knows how to do it where they do one take and it comes off like nobody else can do. He calls it shoe leather. 82 years old, very prolific, very private. I know quite a few people that have been in movies with him, talked to folks out in California that live close to him, that have talked to him in, you know, the Santa Cruz area. That said, watching the speech was painful. Because he wanted it to come off as, you know, kind of friendly and witty, and it did, but it doesn't translate in a teleprompter world. Because you can tell, he's got some notes there, there's no teleprompter. And the stupid Republicans that were just into, like, a tree full of parrots, and and parrots get happier as they sit higher. You know, they love to sit at the highest perch. You know, the biggest, strongest male sits up at the top. And looking at most of those Republicans, I mean, you see it. They're like children that are into being in the cool club, which is just a very childlike level. Democrats are the same. I'm sure there were some good people there. I know Ted Anderson was there. But, I mean, a lot of them, you know, they just, it's hokiness. They should be horrified at the position of this country. Instead, it's all rah-rah, you know, 17th century style convention. 18th century style convention. And I'm watching it, and I realize what went wrong. he had a lot of courage to go out there. They wouldn't shut up the entire time he was trying to speak. And he's not a teleprompter reader, so he was doing, for an 82-year-old man, better job than I guarantee you Barack Obama or George Bush would have done. Probably better than Bill Clinton. I mean, it's really hard to sit there and have a conversation with a person that isn't there. I can do it. My problem is I get in front of a crowd, I have no adrenaline anymore. I do this so much, I'm not even worried about it. It's the opposite. It's Clint Eastwood, who you don't even see on television and stuff, coming out there trying to help America, believing that, you know, Mitt Romney's better for the country, and, you know, going through all the classic cliches, you know, thinking, you know, the Republicans are better, and doing it out of love of this country, thinking that he's going to go to the establishment's backup guy and that somehow that's going to fix things. And I just thought, how many times we have to go through this cycle that the problem is that both candidates are selected by the power structure. That's why they're so close on the issues. The rhetoric's different because that's where the power structure wants to go. We're going in that direction. It's extremely elementary. And so things are getting horrible under Bush. Well, Obama must be good. Then it really gets bad under Obama. And let me tell you, Mitt Romney comes in, it's just going to keep getting worse. Just be ready for that. Because all these discussions about what this one will do or that one will do, it's like sports. Sports is soap operas for men. Learning all the factoids about this player and that player and where they went to college and what they did and what they make. Hey, men, if you were doing that type of work in business and were that obsessed with work, you'd be millionaires. All modern sports, they admit, Edward Bernays, you name it, was designed to distract you from being dominant. It was to just, I mean, let me tell you something. The Super Bowl was on last year, and I told the story, maybe last year, was this Super Bowl the one before? Time flies. And I did the Sunday show. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. You know where I went? I went to eat at Fleming Steakhouse with the Sunday crew. I'm like, good job coming in and working on Sunday. Let me take you out to a really nice steakhouse. Karl Rove was there, snickering and giggling, and I heard him, I'm sitting right next to him. He's 3 feet away, snickering about the idiots watching the ball game. Let me tell you, that's what the elite are doing, making fun of you with your lottery tickets and your football games and all of that. Hey, if you're in the football game, man, more power to you. You're awesome, whether it's Little League or NFL. But the watching of it is what Rome did. Okay? I mean, it's designed to take your life away. Television, all of it, is sucking your life away, sucking your soul.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm.
There's a killer on the road.
There's a killer on the road.
Take a long holiday.
His brain is squirming like a
Let
toad.
Your children play.
Take a long holiday.
One of my favorite lines in music.
Let your children play.
You give this man a ride.
If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die.
Now, let's not give the New World Order a ride. You know, we've already given the globalists their way. And are things going good? You like what's happening with the economy? You like what's happening in the world? Because they state it's their plan to shut everything down. I live in a city where they've shut down two of our power plants, doubled our prices roughly, get ready to shut down the other big one. That'll increase it by about 35% on top of what we have. And they're very proud of it. They're very, very proud of it. And the city where I live admits that they're raising parking meter fees around the city and now charging at city parks and places to raise money for Formula One. Well, what they say is we can now charge more because we're a Formula One city. It'll be coming to town once a year, whatever that means. I mean, I had a guy when I was out in public ask me, Alex, are they really doing that? And I said, yeah, look it up. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, yeah, I mean, they're raising your taxes so they could build free things for billionaires. That's what I stand against. And they want a tyranny, these type of people, so they can make you do what they want. You're like, I don't want the government doing it. It's my government, and I don't want to pay for that. Oh, really, terrorist? People that don't like the government, big spending and corporate welfare, extremist, what? Shut your little mouth. Well, I'm not going to shut my little mouth, and I don't have a little mouth. I got a big one. And everything we've been talking about in one form or another is coming true. And let me tell you something. I'm not pleased with that. I am really freaked out by how far this has gone. And, you know, I talked about it. We got the congressman coming up here in a moment. I talked about it for the whole first hour today. That they have re-education camps in Army Manual FM3-39.40. And then we have Colonel Schaefer on. He's like, oh, yeah, this has been going on a while, but now it's just rolling out. It's rolling out to take over the states. He sat there and told you the same thing. We just sit here watching it in slow motion happen. And it'd be bad enough if it was the federal government doing this. The federal government, I mean, the Army War College has bragged. What's his name? Professor Barnett on C-SPAN. That, you know, they work for the globalists and all this. Well, that's called collaborating. And I guess if they just ease it in slow enough and everything, I guess I am the bad guy. I mean, I want private property, freedom, Second Amendment, family rights. We've just got to get used to the country was taken over and we're the bad guys. And a lot of people are cowards. They're like, I don't care if you stand with America. I'm going to stick with the bankers. They're the winners. And you're like, why are you like that? And they're like, we like winning. But you're not winning. It's destroying the country. But as long as they feel like they're winning, you see, oh, well, I associate myself. It's like these idiots that vote for Barack Obama and associate their personal power with them or any of these politicians. I mean, it's one thing if you hold your nose and vote for an establishment politician over another, but don't ever. I've been in people's houses all over the place, looking at houses, moving or at friends' houses or at parties, and they'll have framed letters from Rick Perry. Letters from George W. Bush, and it's a form letter with a fake signature, robo sign, and they'll really think they got letters from them. People come to me on the street and go, I got a letter from George W. Bush. What do you think that means? I mean, I only gave him $500 once. I'm like, it's a fake letter. It's a form letter. And they're like, no, that can't be true. It's the same premise of the Nigerian letters that Prince Habubu or Magubu or whatever wants to give you $1 million. He just needs 15,000 wired to his Nigerian account. And people, when they find out they got conned, they aren't mad at Prince Habubu. They're mad at you. Okay, well, I'm here to tell you, the Nigerian email scam ain't real. The Federal Reserve isn't federal. And the New World Order is not good for you. The vaccines aren't good for you. Do I believe in vaccine science? Yeah, there could be some learned immunity through it if the companies weren't run by eugenics companies who openly say they want to kill you and your family with soft-kill weapons. It's that you cannot trust a government and a system that did atomic soldiers and little kids giving them syphilis and radiating children and all that stuff still going on. These are bad people using government as their power structure to abuse people. An amazing congressman on. He's right up there with Ron Paul, in my view, for standing up for the Bill of Rights and Constitution. Representative Walter B. Jones, and he's been in the House of Representatives since 95. After serving 10 years as an elected member of the North Carolina General Assembly, he's currently serving his ninth term in Congress. Congressman Jones is a member of the House Armed Services Committee and Financial Services, and we really appreciate him joining us today here on the broadcast. Sir, there's so much to talk about. I want to get into Obamacare. I want to get into the drone legislation you're co-sponsoring. I want to get into the Syria situation, your legislation to make presidents get congressional authorization for military operations instead of saying NATO and the UN are our boss. I mean, people say Congress do their job. Well, Representative Walter B. Jones is. The folks up in the Carolinas have got good representation there. And so when Ron Paul leaves, I've got to say you're going to be the best person in the House, and I'm not just buttering you up. It's just thank God we've got you and a few others there. There is so much to talk about, but I always love to ask people this question, you know, cold, right up front. What is front and center on your radar? I just threw out, you know, the things I know you're working on, but what is most important? What keeps you up at night, or when you wake up in the morning, what are you thinking about, Congressman?
Well, Alex, thank you for the opportunity, and always on the very forefront of my mind are all those young men and women over in Afghanistan, giving their life and limbs for a corrupt government led by Karzai, and I continue to beat the drum of getting the American people to push Congress and say it's time to bring our troops home. And Alex, I think I've said to you before, I can't say the name, but a former commandant has been my advisor on Afghanistan for 3 years, sending me emails, sending me questions, statements, and things like that. And he has been saying for 3 years, learn history. History is no nation has ever, no nation will ever change Afghanistan. It's living in the 7th century. So I wish your listeners would, next week, most members are home and across the United States. I wish they'd pick up the phone and say, bring our troops home now. Don't continue to wait. And very quickly, Alex, we had 3 Marines from Camp Lejeune, which is in my district. They're in the special ops known as MORSOC. 3 Marines from Camp Lejeune over there to train the Afghans. One Afghan who was being trained turned the weapon and killed all 3 Marines. This has happened to over 10 of our American citizens who were in uniform over the last 2.5 weeks.
It's a true tragedy. And listen, I know you're used to mainstream media that doesn't want to talk about the troops. They just want to wrap, you know, their agenda in the troops' valor. But take your time talking about this, because you're one of the only people in Congress that has called on the phone or visited the family of every single member of the armed services that have been killed since all these wars started.
Yeah, Alex, you're right. What I have done, I've signed over 10,847 letters to families and extended families who have lost loved ones in Afghanistan and Iraq, primarily now in Afghanistan. Iraq was a war we never had to fight. The intelligence was manipulated by the Bush administration, and it was war we never had to write. And I regret that I voted to give President Bush the authority to go in, and therefore I started writing letters to these families. Right now, in the last 3 weeks, counting 40 that I've got to sign tomorrow that I've not signed yet, I would have signed over 121 letters to families and extended families in the last 3 weeks.
Wow, and that makes you focus on it. I saw a report last week that in polls, the American people have just forgotten about Afghanistan, and the media is not even covering it anymore. I mean, this is a forgotten war.
Well, Alex, thank you for giving me this time, and I'll tell you why. Last Wednesday, I don't generally buy the Wall Street Journal, but I had a reason to, and I did not know it, but their front page happened to be the beautiful picture of 2 parents crying, holding the folded flag, and their son had been one of the 3 Marines killed that I just made reference to. What the Wall Street Journal did, they had the inside pages, they had 1,000 faces of those who have given their life for this country. That's why I appreciate you giving me this time. I wish every newspaper in America was required to, which we cannot do, to put a flag-draped coffin above the names every time they publish the names in a newspaper.
We need to somehow get people to think about what these wars for profiteering, wars for no-bid contracts, wars for control of opium are doing. And it's so refreshing to see you and Ron Paul and others pointing out that, you know, if we're going to have a war, it should be declared by Congress up front. And let's get into that. You've introduced the legislation. The media has tried to black it out, that if this president or any other president tries to launch wars without congressional approval, or yep. tries to say their authority comes from the UN or NATO, yep. then impeachment begins. And right. since then, they're just barreling on now talking yep. about the U.S. getting involved overtly, not just covertly, in Syria.
Yes, Alex, you're right. Thank you. This you had me on the show when I first put 107, HCON Resolution 107, as legislation in the House. I have been beating the drums. I cannot get a hearing on it. And, of course, we only have like 2.5 weeks left before everybody breaks for the election. But I had gotten Jonathan Turley, who you know is a well-known constitutional lawyer, Bruce Fine, well-known constitutional lawyer. All these people have joined me in saying that we should hold hearings because at the present time, be Republican or Democrat, it seems like that the Congress, and I'll blame the Congress instead of the administration, the Congress should demand that a president meets the responsibility of the Constitution. And we have not done it for so many years. That's the reason I put in HCON Resolution 107. And it says a president. It did not say the president, but a president who without cause does not come to Congress and follow the Constitution, that they can be impeached. And I would say there might be one exception. That is if we got bombed by a foreign entity and the president needed to take some retaliatory action within a day or two. But still, I think they should come to Congress. But I would say they would be an exception of that kind of situation. But you're right. I mean, right. I just wrote the president yesterday and asked him, please do not commit troops to Syria or to initiate war with Iran unless he comes to Congress to justify it.
We even have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who's been pretty hawkish compared to the last few, Dempsey, in the Jerusalem Post, saying, I don't want to be complicit in Iran's strike. I mean, most military experts say it's going to dig the mullahs in even deeper and unify people over there. But a lot of politicians, they want a war to look good. Are you concerned about an October surprise, Congressman?
Yeah.
It's 1.4 billion rounds of ammo since last November. In less than a year, 750 million, 450 million, 250 million, and now tens of millions since that story broke 3 weeks ago, rounds of ammunition for domestic operations. We have the Obama supporters and minions at Homeland Security saying veterans, gun owners, liberty lovers are the number one terror threats. So now the TSA isn't looking in my pants for bin Laden. They're in there looking for George Washington.
Well, Alex, I could not agree more, and I want to go back to your comment about General Dempsey. I know I have great relationships with the Marines in my district, and I can tell you they're still like any service person willing to give their life for this country, but they want to give it for a sound policy. And I know that the Marine Corps is tired. I know the equipment is worn out in many cases, and we need to rebuild our military because I am more concerned about, quite frankly, a war with North Korea or a country in the Southeast Asian part of America. And right now, our troops are so tired that if we got stuck in Iran or Syria, I mean, it would be long, long time before we would get them out.
Well, that's another thing. As you know, previously, they never made you serve more than one tour in combat. Yep. Now it's 5, 6, 7, 8, and then they give them Prozac and stuff that they know causes suicide, and then wonder why there's record suicides, and then try to demonize all veterans and say they should have their guns taken. I mean, this is incredible.
Well, Alex, I wish that the American people, there's a book, and if you want to get the author on, I would suggest you might would really get a great show. The book's name is Funding the Enemy. It's written by Douglas Wissing, W-I-S-S-I-N-G. I bought the book. I read the book. I have contacted Mr. Wissing. He is going to come to Washington, D.C. on September the 20th. And my staff, along with Jim McGovern from Massachusetts staff, we're going to do a press conference. And Mr. Wissing is going to talk about how the money is going from America to the Taliban. So that means, and the subtitle of the book, Funding the Enemy, the subtitle is How U.S. Taxpayers Fund the Taliban to Kill Americans.
Yes, I'm familiar with the book. I've read excerpts. I've meant to read it. We have it. I just get overwhelmed and haven't had time. But just separately, They admit, even in the Council on Foreign Relations last issue that came out 4 weeks ago, well, August 1st, it's almost 4 weeks ago, that, well, the quote is, we need Al-Qaeda. I'm sorry, it's just too insane. And they're actually now saying Al-Qaeda's doing a great job against Assad. Now, I'm not saying Assad's a great guy, but compared to Al-Qaeda, he is. This is so immoral. You're up there. You're on the Armed Services Committee. I mean, you've got access to stuff that hardly anybody else does in national security. Can you tell us what the plan is trying to put Al-Qaeda in, who are admittedly blowing up churches? I mean, there's video of this, blowing up synagogues. I mean, since when? I mean, how is the media ignoring this?
Well, I will be honest with you. We've had briefings. We've been home for 4 weeks. We had a briefing 5 weeks ago, but it was predominantly on Afghanistan. It was not a briefing on Syria or any of the movements taking place in that area. My concern is, to go back to a point you made about an October surprise, I would not be surprised that if the politics are such in this country that if Israel decided, and it should be up to Israel, with not America being involved, but if Israel decided to go into Iran, that maybe this administration would say, we agree and support they're going into Iran. I can't prove that. I don't want that to be misunderstood. I have nothing personal against the president. But I am concerned that there might be a justification as we get into October, late October especially, that the Israelis take a opportunity to take out some of the sites in Iran, and then the administration says we support it because, you know, the Jewish vote is big in America. And I very much respect the Jews, so don't get me wrong on that. But there's just too many things that can happen with just a, I hate to say it so simply, but snap of a finger.
Stroke of the pen, law of the land, kind of cool, is one of Clinton's advisors, what Begala said. Well, you're absolutely right, and you know there are a lot of special interests that want to have this war, but there's a lot of interest in Israel that are also against having this war with Iran. But it'll be good for politicians up for re-election to have a political diversion in Israel and here, and Obama is sliding quickly. Hillary won't even go to the DNC. You've got all these Democrats saying Biden needs to step down. They can't even give away tickets for Obama's speeches now. Michael Moore says get used to saying President Romney. So, I mean, look, the polls say it's a dead heat. We know those polls are cooked. The numbers I've got are Obama is on his way out unless there's some type of crisis. And I'm sure you've seen all those quotes by Democratic advisors saying if there was a crisis, they could blame the people against him.
Well, no, I've read some of the articles and that you've made reference to, and again, my concern is, I told you about how many letters I've signed. I go to Walter Reed, Alex, and I will be going in 2 weeks, a young man that graduated from East Carolina University that's right here in my town where my office is located. He lost both legs about 3 months ago. Stepped on an IED. He's a young lieutenant. Stepped on an IED, and both legs, well below the knees, have lost that part of the leg. I've seen five kids at Walter Reed that have no body parts below their waist. I was told that by the escort, one being Army, one being Marine, that these kids have lost everything below their legs. The next tsunami that's coming to take, that America's not prepared for, is to take care of the wounded from Afghanistan and Iraq. It will be anywhere from $3 to $5 trillion. That's not being factored in any of our discussions.
Unbelievable. And, you know, I talked to so many veterans. A lot of the regular folks are scared of veterans because of the media, which I think overall is unfounded. They make some of the best employees, and they no one's giving them jobs.
Yep, it's a problem, and it's that's why, you know, why are we spending $10 billion a month in Afghanistan? It's borrowed money from the Chinese. We cannot even send inspectors in there to see how the taxpayers' money is being spent, or the Chinese money, I might say. In Afghanistan, and yet we're cutting programs, some good programs like home health programs and talking about sequestration coming in. I mean, America needs to understand, as Ron Paul would say, let's start fixing America's problems and let's stay home and spend the American energy and the American money right here in America to rebuild our country.
Exactly, sir. Now, I want to get into the, what do you think the billion, 400 million bullets are for? I mean, you're up there at the national intelligence level. Is Congress going to ask Homeland Security what that is for? And also, I know you're concerned about drones and are supporting some legislation. Tell us about that.
Well, first, I think you'll find Darrell Issa, the Oversight Committee, to hold some hearings as soon as we go back regarding this bullet situation. I really do that. The bill that I am on was introduced by a Georgia Republican, Representative Austin Scott, and this is what the bill does. It's H.R. 5925, would only permit the federal government to use drone technology without a specific warrant when patrolling the national borders and when credible intelligence exists to indicate that there's a risk of terrorism attack. A few weeks ago, I was on the floor to talk about getting our troops out of Afghanistan, and before me was a very dear friend of mine named Ted Poe. Ted was speaking before I did what they call five-minute speeches, and he got up and talked about in 2015, we will have 17,000 drones flying around America. That's one reason I did not vote for the DOD bill, the Armed Services bill, back in May, June.
Can you repeat what you said to me off air about the drones?
Yeah, I can. That is what Ted Poe said on the floor of the House. He's from Texas. He's a good man. You might get him on your show. He actually spoke before I did that day, the five-minute speeches early in the morning, and he was saying that at some point in 2015 there could be as many as 17,000 drones flying around America.
Stay there. Let's finish up on the drones straight ahead. All right, it's our final segment with Walter B. Jones, the congressman, who joins us from North Carolina. We're very honored to have him. What a great patriot up there speaking out, telling it like it is. Again, so recap in your own words the drone situation. The break interrupted us.
Back to this bill very quickly. The title of this bill by Congressman Scott from Georgia that I co-sponsored, the title tells you everything. The title is the Preserving Freedom from Unwanted Surveillance Act of 2012. So it would put certain restrictions on the American government using drones against the American people. And I mean, I'm concerned. I voted against the Armed Services Bill 2 months ago because there's a provision that was put in by the Senate that puts really says that any administration that determines an American citizen is a terrorist, they can take him out without coming to Congress or anyone else. It's very dangerous. I will send that provision to you so that you will have it. That was in the Armed Services Bill that passed the House and the Senate and signed by the President of the United States.
On the drones, you also made the point when I first got young before we went live that you need a provision so that these aren't used against the American people.
Yeah, that's what H.R. 5925 will do by Congressman Scott. It would only permit the federal government to use drone technology without a specific warrant when patrolling the national borders and when credible intelligence exists to indicate there's a risk of terrorism, because if you don't have that provision that I just read to your people, then the government can do anything they want to with drones.
Take the NSA. They now basically admit they're recording everything we do illegally. Yeah. I mean, why even have a Bill of Rights and Constitution?
Well, you know, I tell you, Alex, I think the American people are ready to take the government back. I would rather that it be done with votes, but I really do think the American government, the American people, excuse me, are just fed up with Congress and fed up with the government. It's the time to bring America back to the people.
What is the feeling you get in D.C. now? I mean, is Washington aware of this awakening's happening? Because I see it, too. And what is the feel from your constituents? You're saying they're really starting to wake up?
I think that Congress, that's why I think this election in November is going to be very interesting. I sincerely believe that people are more concerned today than ever before about the overreach and the intrusion of the federal government into our private lives. That's why I love Ron Paul. I'm a big Ron Paul supporter. and believe today if he was the nominee of the Republican Party, he'd be the next president of the United States.
There's no doubt. He would absolutely politically destroy Obama and Romney. Just I don't see any Romney stickers still. And, I mean, Paul Ryan's a little better than Romney, but, I mean, Romney's in for a rude awakening if he gets elected and tries all that Massachusetts liberal stuff.
Yeah.
People aren't going to put up with that.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, Alex, very quickly, I've got a copy of the letter that I sent to Mr. Obama yesterday, and I'll read the first paragraph very quickly. This letter is written to you out of grave concern that you will once again lead our nation into war without authorization from Congress. As tensions and rhetoric rise in Syria and Iran, the power to declare war remains vested in the Congress. No resolution from the United Nations or NATO can supersede the power carefully entrusted with the representative of the American people. And, of course, it's longer than that, but that's the first paragraph.
And is that at your website, sir?
Yeah, it's on the website.
And again, Congressman Jones is our guest from North Carolina. And the best place to find your site is, I guess, go to house.gov and then what, / Walter
Jones? Walter B. Jones, house.gov.
All right.
House.gov.mail.
Sure. Or just Google Congressman Walter Jones and it'll, it's one of the first links right there. Well, we ran out of time, sir. Please come back soon to get into Obamacare and ways to try to defeat that, okay?
Alex, thank you for this opportunity. And your people, please call and get our troops home from Afghanistan. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great weekend. And have a great weekend, everybody else. And we'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. I'll be on tonight. Nightly news, 7 o'clock, PrisonPlanet.tv.